are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so privileged a people, Lord, to know that you've come. Being that, Father, there's so few in this world who truly recognize, Lord, your great presence, your appearing before the coming. The great shout, which is the great message, which went forth to gather together your bride to a word. And that word is to bring your glory, your doxa, your opinions, your values. And it is to bring on a change, Lord. First, we know the change is in the inner man. And then one day it'll take a hold of this body. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to that transformation by the renewing of our mind. And we pray, Father, you'd have the glory in these bodies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I'd like to continue with Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. It's number 33 in our series. I'd like to entitle it, Christian Means Christ-like. And we're going to focus on paragraphs 74 and 75, where Brother Branham hones in on what it really means to be a Christian. So if we begin reading at paragraph 74, he says, "But the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you." How? Well, we got a stinger there. I hope everybody on the tape gets that too. See? You say, "Well, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing." It's Christ identified in you. That's when he has recognized you. That's a pretty strong statement right there. You know, if you don't see Christ, actually, if you don't see any evidence of Christ life in you, he says, don't matter if you're Pentecostal, don't matter what you got, don't matter what you claim. Now, before I read on, because notice he calls it, he says, we got a stinger. I hope everybody on tape gets that too. You say, well, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. It's Christ identified in you. That's when he recognized, past tense, you. So until Christ is identified in you, he hasn't identified you yet. Now, before I read on, as I said, I'd just like to read from Romans chapter 8, because what Brother Branham is telling us here is very scriptural, even though the fundamentalists and the Pentecostals will deny this. But Paul tells us this very plainly in Romans 8 and verse 16. He says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now notice he tells us that the Spirit itself. Well, who's that? Who's he talking about? He's talking about God. He said, "This very Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit." And of course, we know there's only one the Spirit, and that's God's own Spirit. And Brother Ron tells us plainly and straightforward that the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. Is Christ identified in you? That's when he has recognized you. Now notice, he recognizes you. Now notice, not you recognizing him. The whole world recognizes there's a God. I mean, you got 1.5 billion Muslims. They recognize there's one God. Then you have, the Catholic Church, about a billion people. They recognize there's, well, maybe a committee made up of three that's a God. You know, and then you have all of the denominational world, which adds up to about the same. And, you know, they all believe, even the Buddhas and the Taoists and all these people, they believe. And the Hindus, I mean, they've got 850 million gods. So, you know, they all believe in God of some sort, but what he's saying is until God recognizes you, until God identifies with you, not you identifying with him. Notice, the whole world recognizes that God is God, but they will not make him Lord of their life. Now, will they? We even have that problem right here in this message. People living no higher than the denominational Baptist. When I was in high school, I remember the days. I had a good friend, Ron, you remember John Scherf. John was a good old Southern Baptist. He wouldn't go to the dances. He wouldn't go to movies. He wouldn't go to, he had a motto. He said, we don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with those who do. And that's the way he was. He was a very nice fella. But the problem is that right in this message, we've got people who don't live any higher than a Baptist. From Jezebel Religion, Brother Brown said, "Them young girls so drunk they could hardly stand up in the room all night with them boys. Awfulest dirty talk you ever heard in your life. I put a pillow over my head like this to try to go to sleep. Out on the floors drunk and running up and down the floors like that. Religious. Now, I can expect these sinful people like now that call themselves sports out here in the bowling game, but one of my kids would start toward a bowling alley, and I'd run him out of the country. Uh-huh. Call that sport? That's not sport. What's this? If you want to be right, get right with God. That's true. From Wisdom versus Faith, he says, how can the true Word of God grow on these bobbed-haired, short-wearing, cigarette-smoking, bowley alley hangers, church joiners? How can it do it when such pleasure-loving, seeking crowds as that hung out and love such things as that and loving the world? How can the love of God come in? How can the seed of God grow in such a ground as that? It'll never take root. It'll never bring any life to it. It lays there on them old dusty denominational rocks and rots away. But it'll never bring life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pleasure seekers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, terrible, yet they're smart. They're twice as smart as the other class, see? Sure, smart, educated, wisdom seekers, just like Eve was, and they got the same dose that she got, just exactly, it's the truth. So as I said, the Baptists in the 70s wouldn't smoke or chew or drink or chew and go with them to do. They were more committed to living a Christian life than kids in this message are today. Ah, but you say, but by grace we're saved and not of works. That's what the Baptists say too. And that may be true. But if you have the Spirit of God living in you, I know His Spirit wouldn't do those things. So who's controlling you? Brother Branham said in paragraph 75, he continues, he says, you say, well, I spoke in tongues. Devils do. I shouted. Well, the Mohammedans do. Buddhas and everything else shouts. The Indians scream at the snake dance. See? Sure. They all do that. Cults, clans, and everything else scream and holler. They holler and shout at a baseball game. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying Himself, then you are Christ-like. Which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There's your identification, all right? Now, and since He is our identification, then we should be identified with Him by living for Him. Jesus said in John 6:57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In other words, you take him, and he is the word, you take him in, you're going to live just like him. So I have a right to ask the question, by whom are you living for or living by? Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, that word if is a very big word here because he's telling us that if we live in the Spirit, then we will also be walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit would actually be controlling our walk. Be controlling our bodies. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of the flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And how do we subject our spirit to the Father and live? By taking heed to His Word. And not just shoving it aside, as so many do, and say that that's for another age. And listen, you cannot expect to avoid the curse of God if you don't take heed to His Word. That's the promise from God. Let's look at the blessing and then we'll look at the curse. Deuteronomy 28, if you turn with me. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to read from verse 1 through 6. Actually, there's 1 through 14 is all the blessings, but we'll just cover a handful of them. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do. Notice, not only to observe, but and to do all of His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy womb, thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, you're always blessed. Now notice he said, if you hearken diligently, and that means if you listen intelligently with an ear to hear the instructions so that you might do them. It means to pay close attention to do so, that you might know. Now let's read what happens if we fail to hearken, which means we fail to pay attention close attention to the voice of the Lord thy God. Let's jump to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the land, the increase of the kine, the flocks and sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursings and vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. So the whole thing is, when they don't hearken, they're forsaking him. They're not paying attention. It's like when a parent's trying to talk to a child and the child just kind of ignoring the parent. You know. So don't think everything is okay because I go to church, I pay my tithes, I support the work, so on, you know, so I'm okay. And besides, I have great health and a good job, so I'm blessed. Now listen, this nation was the healthiest nation at one time and the most blessed of nations at one time. And according to the cursings and blessings, we were actually at the top. And the Bible says that, you know, if you're blessed, it says you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be the lender, not the borrower. And in one generation, flip, we've gone from being the most lending nation in the history of all nations to the biggest debtor nation in the history of the debtor nations. And listen, it's not just the government, it's the people. Something like the average credit card, the average person owes $45,000 in credit card debt. $45,000. Well, somebody owes $90,000 because I don't have any. So don't think everything's okay because I'm sitting here in church and... Listen. He wants you to pay attention. Now, I'm not up here to make you feel little or that's not my purpose. I want you to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And it's not an easy thing. Because you have to die to self. But if you're chasing the world, it shows the Holy Ghost doesn't have preeminence in your life. Look, according to the Word of God, our very lives are supposed to be written epistles. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:3. He said, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In other words, that ministry took a hold of the Holy Spirit and engraved into your hearts, etched into your souls, the very life of God. That's what happened in this day. The early church were called Christians because they were so Christ-like. They act in the way they acted, the way they talked, the way they conducted their lives. From questions and answers on the image of the beast, Brother Ramsey said, there's only one way to be a Christian. And the word Christian means Christ-like, and you can't do it. You can't work it in yourself. There's no way at all you can do it. You have to forget yourself, die out to yourself, and let Christ come in and live the life of Christ in you. So you've got to let him do it for you. Again, from his sermon, Images of Christ, Brother Bram said, it's been told to me by authorities that before that they had the days of the smelter to take the dross out of the gold, take the iron and the pyrite was so close like the real gold, it's called fool's gold. But the way that they got all of that out was that they beat it with a hammer. The Indians used to do that. The old goldsmiths used to do it. Beat it out with a hammer and turn it over and over and beat it until all the dross was out of it. And the only way that they knew that it was down to the gold was when the beater could see his reflection in it. And the one who was beating could constantly look until he could almost shave by his own reflection in the gold that he was beating. In other words, mirror reflective. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to beat on us with the gospel hammer, until all the things of the world is beaten out and we can reflect the image of the Lord, then I believe we become Christians. For the word Christian means Christ-like and to reflect him. So how many people are in church this morning across the world? We're just churchgoers. They're not Christians because you hear what he's telling us. Christ-like And it's after the Holy Ghost just hammers and hammers and hammers and hammers. I know people have been in this message for 30 years. And now they're finally understanding what it really means to be a Christian. I had a sister over in Norway. She said, I was raised in this message. She's 32 years older, something like that. I was raised in this message. She said, and it's only been recently, she said, Brother Brian, I've been listening to your sermons, and it's only been recently that I really feel like I'm finally a Christian. Why is that? Because we're reflecting every time we come to church. We're reflecting on where we are. Because so is he. You see, he's doing it daily. We should be doing it daily as well. From a sermon, an absolute, Brother Bram said, I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, well, I'm an American. How dare you? Like that's got anything to do with it. See, they're tied to a nation. The other one's tied to an organization. Some are tied to dogmas. But a Christian means Christ-like. And the only way that you can be Christ-like is for Christ, the Word, to be in you. Again, from his sermon, Images of Christ, he said, church membership is all right. I've nothing against it or any of those things. But brother, to be a Christian means to be conformed to the image of Christ. Ah, there it is. We're looking to be conformed to the image of Christ. He said, that'll make you a Christian. That's what Christian is being all about. We want to be a living image, not pack an image like the Catholics. You know, they got their rosary, they got the little picture of Mary, but to be an image of the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:13, he said, for if you live after the flesh or after self, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What does that mean? It means to kill the deeds of the body. What are the yearnings of the body? Kill it. Now, before we go any further with Brother Branham, what he's talking about in paragraph 74 and 75 of Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed, let's step back a moment. And I want to read the several paragraphs building up to this statement of Brother Branham's. Now, from paragraph 65 and on, he says, now, here he says, search the Scriptures, they testify of me. In them you think that you have eternal life, and that's true. And they are the one that bear record of me, and I'm bearing record of them. And if I do not the works that's promised that I would do, then don't hear me. But if I do the works, and you can't believe me, at least believe the works, because they testify that he is the Word. Oh, it looks like it couldn't be any plainer, see, all right? Now, search the Scriptures. He said Moses and all the law and so forth and the prophets and Psalms spoke of him. And again, he said the Scriptures testify of me. Now, I'd just like to make a comment here because, you know, he's talking about Jesus here. He also kind of reflecting on him, you know, if I don't do the works that he promised I would do. But, you know, he's also talking about you. If you don't do the works of Christ, if you're not acting like Christ, talking like Christ, you're not a Christian. So why should I believe you when you say you are? Jesus said, look, if I don't do the things he told me to do, then you don't have to believe me. But when you see the things, at least believe the works. You see? Then he says in paragraph 66, he is the principal theme of the entire Bible. And if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse of it, go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you missed something. The Bible is Christ. He is the Word. And when you read in the beginning God created, there's Christ. See, and from that to the Amen in Revelations is every word testifying of Jesus Christ. That's why these added books that's called Second Book of Daniel and the Book of Maccabees, Agabus Purgatory and stuff like that, see, it's not spoken of in the Scripture. See, it doesn't theme up with the rest of it. So is your life theming up? Because your life is a written epistle. So it's a written epistle of who? Of you in the flesh, or is it a written epistle of Jesus Christ living in your flesh? See, it doesn't theme up with the rest of it. There's no place to place purgatory in that. There's no place to place intercession of saints and things. There's no place for that at all. There's no place for denomination. There's no place for creeds inside of the Bible. See, so when you see those things, they just don't come into the picture. See, 67. And that's why people has added those and got this jigsaw puzzle mixed up. See, they can't make it right. Same yesterday, today, and forever. But if the things put together right, there's the entire picture of the fall and regeneration, the whole picture of creation, and God's whole plan revealed right in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the whole picture set together. Every little crook and corner is just like, now I don't mean to be sacrilegious by this, but it's just like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. That's That's why we've got the picture today that looks so horrible. Or looks horrible. It says, we are believers. And a cow picking grass up on the top of the tree. It don't work. That's when they say, yeah, he's every way, but just as certain. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All but for a certain thing. See? Then you ruin your picture. The Bible said he is the same. Well, then, the very next paragraph, he goes to John 14:12. He's saying, if he is the same, and he goes right to John 14:12. He says, St. John 5 or John 14:12. He said, anybody. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, that was for another age. What is that? Well, that was only for one person. There you got your picture wrong again. You got a man fishing out in the desert for fish in a bunch of hot sand where there's no fish at all. See? See? You got to bring him back to where he's fishing at Galilee, where there's plenty of fish, you see? See, you got to make the picture look right. It's God's great picture, and there's only one way that you'll see it. That's when you see Jesus Christ. There's the entire Bible. He's the principal theme of the Bible. Now, you realize that any of these places here, you could take a text, and it's just hard for a preacher to hold his peace. He looked like that he wanted to keep going with it, but you got to get back to what we're teaching on. He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there, you'll find Christ. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And he also is in the Bible, is the same things that is to come. So he was before and for after. And what does that make him? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And you inject something in there that doesn't make him the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Lee, where do you go to? You got an awful picture there. For he was the history. See, he is the prophet. He is the psalm. He is everything. And if you can't make him everything and the same, what's the picture look like? Do you see it? All right. He is the same. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the psalms. He was in the history. And he is the things to come yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, if you're writing it down. He should be then. He should be the principal, and if that's what he is, and we believe it, don't we? Then he is that. Then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. And if he's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think should be Christ. Is that right? All right. Since we think this, since he's been made the head of all things, the Colossians said so, that he's the head of all things to us, for he was made for us, which we are considered all things. And you say, well, what about the sinner? Well, he was made to be judge of the sinner, if you don't accept it. He was made the glory for the believer who does accept it. So their thing, and all things was made by him and for him. And it takes the night to express the glory of the day. It takes the vessel of honor to dishonor to express the love and care for the vessel of the honored. It takes an evil woman that would wear immoral clothes and sell her morals and to express the virtues of decent, genuine lady. See, it takes the crook and the thief in a man to express the genuineness of a real believer, a real Christian. It takes the hypocrite to show up the believer what he is. And it takes the blessings, or takes the curses in Deuteronomy 28 to show the blessings. Because they're the same thing. We just read it this morning. You're blessed in the field, you're cursed in the field. You're blessed coming in, you're cursed coming in. You're blessed in your basket, you're cursed in your basket. You see? So all things were made by him, and since all things was made, he was made all things, made for all of us. All things was made for and by him. Then since that is true, we should make, our identification should be with him. We should be identified ourselves with him because he has identified himself with us. We should be identified with him. How? By living for him. Not just a confession. So many people take a confession and they say, well, it's got to this place now. Are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. Well, that's a long way from making yourself known as a Christian. Now, look what the Methodist does. I'm Baptist. Look what the Baptist does. I'm Catholic. Look what they do. See? But the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. Now, we got a stinger there. I hope everybody in the tape gets that too. See? You say, well, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. is Christ identified in you. That's when he has recognized you. Now notice he doesn't say you being identified with Christ. He says Christ identified himself in you. First, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 11, Romans 8, 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if, that's a big question, if he's dwelling in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. What does it mean? It means you're going to die to yourself. And you're going to live. Your body actually becomes alive to Christ because you've died to self. You can't be resurrected until you're dead. Jesus couldn't be resurrected until he was in the grave. He was dead. And you can't be made alive until you died to yourself. Now what's he telling us here is that God's Spirit, it's God's Spirit because it is God that raised Jesus from the dead. So if God's Spirit is in you, it will quicken your mortal body. That means you will become alive to God's Word in your body, not just in your soul. In your body too. Look, this word quicken means to make alive. And what is it that he says will become alive? What did Paul say? He says your mortal body. He's not talking about your soul. You're not talking about your spirit. He's talking about your mortal body coming into conformity with the Word of God. He says your mortal body. Now the mortal body is the body that you're living in right now. I disagree with those who say that we must wait to get our body changed or we must wait until the millennium to have victory in this flesh. What in the world did Christ die for if not to give us that victory? Victory comes by overcoming, and that overcoming produces character. And overcoming is not a gift. It's something that's worked at. In Church Age book, chapter 4, the Smyrna Church Age, we read, why does he stand by? The reason is Romans 8, 17 to 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. So you want to build character in your kids? Let them suffer. Don't be every time they want something, just don't be running after them like a spoiled kid. He says, unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory. It's not a gift. A man without character cannot reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him, and the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Why do you think we have failed to see John 14, 12 so much in the church? William Branham said it ought to be there. But just as sure as it was in the first church age, it ought to be there. He said, as it was in the first church age, as it was in the Middle Ages, he says it should be at the end, at church at the end. But it's because we don't have the same sacrifice, the same suffering, the same character as was displayed in the early church. Why? We have a lot more temptations. A lot more temptations. So the character ought to be brighter. From the darkest hour, Jesus comes, Brother Ram said, now God gave him the Spirit without measure. He gives it to you and I by measure. He measured me out a spoonful. But when he measured it out to his son, he measured the whole ocean. See what I mean? But notice the same chemicals that's in the spoon is in the ocean. And all the chemicals in the ocean is in, or a measure of them is in the spoon. It's the same kind. See, it'll do the same thing. It'll do the same works. It'll produce the same life. Don't you believe that? That's what makes us Christians. Producing the same life. Producing the same works. From fundamental foundation of faith, he said, now if we could throw yourself completely to God and to his will and law and be lost to your own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, then them same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as the natural things does. Just the same thing. Because we were first created for that purpose, to control, to rule, and to praise God and to live for God. God's waiting on us. From Christ is a mystery, he said, if a man says he's born again and tries to place these promises of Christ in the last days to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, well, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. Into all the world, into every age. Casting out devils, speaking with tongues, all of these great manifestations of the gifts that would follow, that they shall, not that they may be, that they ought to, they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So if you're living in this delusion, and it is a delusion, that if I go to church, if I know the doctrine, if I got the right theology, I'm going to make it. That's a delusion. If the life of Christ, you see it in living in you, that's not a delusion. That's a reality. That's a reality. And the only way that's going to happen is you've got to die daily. You can make it 7 days in a row and say, hey, I've really been victorious, and God will flip something around. Let you know you've got to keep coming back to him. You've got to keep dying. Brother Branham said in a sermon, blind Bartimaeus, those Pharisees read the same Bible that the apostles did, but they didn't have faith to put it into practice what they read. Now listen to that. Every denomination today reads the same Bible. But what I want to see is somebody that's got faith enough that'll step out and take the word of it. Amen. That's what we need. Somebody to practice what they believe. Faith without works is dead. Doesn't do you any good to have faith. You say, I believe that's the Bible. Well, if it is the Bible, it's got promises. And if you believe that's true, well, the only thing you have to do is let your faith loose with it. Practice what you believe. Every bit's a seed. Notice, practice what you believe. Now, people keep going back and say, well, you know, Brother Branham, Brother Vail, you know, in the early days, he used to discern. And then Brother Branham said, well, Lee, is it 100%? Well, not 100%. Brother Ransom said, then just leave it alone. Why? Because you're playing with it. You're playing with it. Discernment is not, you know, I'm guessing, or I'm reading body language, or I'm getting this impression. Discernment is knowing. It's knowing. Without a doubt, it's knowing. You see? And so if you're just, you know, if you're not 100%, then you're playing around. And that's, you know, that's, Brother Ransom said, forget it. Don't be playing around. But we know what the Scripture tells us how to live. That's not playing around. Let's do it. You know what it says. Step into it. You see? And so people say, well, you know what? I just can't live it. No, but he can. You can't. But he can. If you just die to yourself, let him do it for you. You see, there's nobody that can live it. The Pharisees tried. They were a bunch of hypocrites. A hypocrite means a play actor. That's what they did. You don't have to play act. All you have to do is die. That's not too hard to do, really. Just die. Die to self. Brother Branham said in a sermon, blind Bartimaeus, those Pharisees read the same Bible. We read that. Brother Branham said spoke of Martin in his sermon, Christianity versus Idolatry. He said in studying in the early history of the church, Broadbent's and Hazeltine's and many of these commentaries, Nicene Fathers, and yesterday I was just wound up with the complete life of St. Martin that the Catholic Church refused to canonize, but God did that. See? So they, of his great life, and how that the same signs and wonders follow that man right down through his life, how he raised two dead people, cast out evil spirits, spoke in unknown tongues, and seen visions and things, and what a great man. But yet, in the very secret of his power was in humility for God, or before God. And we find today that the church, yet teaching its power and teaching the signs to follow the believer, yet we find them puffed out. Big me, little you. And it isn't like the early church, you see. They were humble and kind to one another, and they were sweet and understanding. And it's so much different today, and I wonder if it's a lot of this hasn't sidetracked us from the real kernel of the message, that we want to humble ourselves. Keep yourself. The more humbler you can be, the better God will use you. So if you have a desire in your heart to be a reflector of God, to be used by God, just see how little you can get, how little you can make yourself. from a sermon, The Messiah, Brother Brown was speaking about Columba, how he manifested the mighty works of Christ and also raised the dead, as did the apostles, the apostle Paul. But Brother Branham spoke of Columba many times in this sermon. He said, I wonder where people that don't believe in signs and wonders following the believers, how would you ever read the history of the church and think it ceased with the apostles? In the church ages, I read the Nicene Fathers, the Nicene Council, and of all the ancient writers, and I could think of reading Hyslop's Two Babylons and many of the other ancient books, and all the way down through the early church, early Catholic Church, down for the first 600 years after Christ, there was Irenaeus and St. Martin and Columba and all of those, and every one of those saintly men, they preached the baptism of the name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they preached the remission of sins, and they preached speaking in tongues, and they raised the dead, they healed the sick, signs and wonders followed them, plumb on to the dark ages, and through the dark ages, and there's been little minority all the way down keeping that gospel light shining. And what was it? It was Messiahs, ones holding forth the representation of the messianic kingdom. Jesus never failed. He did just exactly what he was commissioned to do, and he came to establish a kingdom, and he did it. And the kingdom of God comes into the heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. It brings God's Spirit upon anointed church to perform signs and wonders as he did to prove that Messiah is king of his kingdom. Amen. Well, paragraph 75 in the Crisis of the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham says, well, I spoke in tongues. Well, devils do too. Well, I shouted. Mohammedans, Buddhas, and everybody shouts. Well, the Indians scream at the snake dance. See, sure. They all do. Cults, clans, everything else screams and hollers. They holler and shout at the ball games. Baseball game. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like. Which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There's your identification, all right? And since he is our identification, then we should be identified with him by living for him. Now, in the Church Age book, the Patmos Vision, Brother Vail, in full collaboration with Brother Branham, he wrote, in John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He is the main vine, that which comes out of the original root, from the original seed that has the life in it. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. It's the branches that bear the fruit. Well, who's the branches? We're supposed to be the branches. Now watch this. You can take a citrus tree, such as an orange tree, and graft into it a grapefruit limb, a lemon limb, a tangelo limb, and other kinds of that variety, and all those limbs will grow. But those grafted limbs will not bear oranges. No, sir. The lemon limb will bear lemons, the grapefruit limb will bear grapefruit, and so on. Yet those limbs will be thriving off of the life in the tree. So you can be in this message. And depending on if you're Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever you are by your nature, you will bear fruit of that nature. And it'll come alive because of the message. But it won't be the life of Christ. It'll be the Baptist life or the Pentecostal life or the Catholic life. But if the tree ever puts forth another branch of itself, it will be an orange branch and bear oranges. Why? Because the life in the limb and the life in the trunk are identical, whereas it wasn't so with the grafted in limbs. Those grafted branches had their source in other kinds of life from other trees, from other roots, from other seeds. Oh, they will bear fruit all right, but they won't bear oranges. They cannot bear because they are not the original. And that's the way the church is. The vine has been split and limbs have been grafted in. They have grafted in Baptist limbs and Methodist limbs and Presbyterian limbs and Pentecostal limbs. Now listen, Brother Brown, what he's hitting here is exactly right, because when Paul was attacked by those false believers, false brethren, he said they were Pharisees who came in. Pharisees in the message of that day. They didn't leave their Pharisaical teaching, so they wanted to circumcise all the Gentiles as well. You see? And so if you came in with that kind of seed and you're just grafted in, you're going to still produce that kind of seed. Denominational seed from which they produce their fruit. But if the vine ever brings forth another branch of itself, that branch will be exactly like the vine itself. It will be the same kind of branch that was brought forth at Pentecost. It will speak in tongues, prophesy, have the power and signs of the resurrected Jesus Christ in it. Why? Because it's thriving on the natural resources of the vine itself. You see, it wasn't grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. And when those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit, for they were not born of the vine. They don't know about that original life and that original fruit. They cannot know, for they were not born of it. But if they had been born of it, that same life that was in the original stem, Jesus, would have come through them and manifested through them. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, look, if you're grafted into the message, you're still going to produce whatever you were. But if you're born into this message, he said, then you can understand that it's got to come back to the life of Christ, the works of Christ, the actions of Christ. Denomination, which are man-directed, cannot be born of God, for it is the Spirit, not man, that gives life. How thrilling it is to think of those seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of that main bowl, because they had their wicks dipped in there. Each church age messenger is depicted here. His life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His wick, his life, has been immersed in Christ. Through that wick, he is drawing the very life of Christ, and by it gives out light to the church. What kind of a light is he giving? The very same light that was in the first lamp that was lit. And right on down the age to the present time of the last day messenger, the same life, the same light is manifesting by a life that is hid with Christ in God. Not only can we see thus the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. Now, there's brothers that say, well, Brother Vail don't teach that. He's teaching it right there in the church age book. What better place could you find it? I'm going to read it again. Not only can we speak thus of the messengers, he just read John 14:12, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They are all dead to themselves, and their lives are hid with Christ and God. They are sealed in by the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby they are sealed, or you are sealed until the day of your redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them, for death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be to God, they have this victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So there you are. From faith once delivered to the saints, Brother Branham said, now, if Jesus Christ, God's Son, said, these signs shall follow them that believe, the works that I do shall you do also. These things that I do, you'll do it also. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Then the disciples followed right behind Christ, doing the very same things that he did. That's right. Exactly. And when they found out that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, they wasn't educated, neither was they smart, but they had to take notice that they had been with Jesus, because the Spirit that was in Jesus was in them, doing the same things that Jesus did, taking the same kind of motive, and everything that Jesus had, that's what they had. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have an education. You just have to have a willing heart. And God sends his faith down, his power, and faith is power. And from the new ministry. And this is significant, because this is what Brother Branham was looking for. When he was here on earth, he told Peter, on the revelation of the word of God, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Isn't that right? All right. And when he was, for he left in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say it? In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. He also said, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, that's John 14:12. Is that right? That's the signs that's to follow his church. It's not a denomination. It's ordained by God, Holy Ghost filled, heaven born church that comes out of denomination, a real believing bunch of people. Don't you see what the greater thing is? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen, was to impart eternal life to people. What is eternal life? The life that he lived, the life that was in him. Impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. There's the greater works. So in this essence, the greater works can be done by any one of you in here, to impart the life of the Holy Ghost so that someone will receive the very life of Christ. Then you, me, whoever. Because Brother Brown said, anyone. I love that quote. The greatest of all the works, he said, is to impart eternal life to others. From the beginning, it wasn't so. He said, Jesus said at the beginning, the works that I do shall you do also. That's the way it was at the beginning. What kind of works did he do at the beginning? The same works that he's doing now. What kind of church did he have at the beginning? A church that was filled with the Holy Spirit, that healed the sick, prophesied, and great signs and wonders. And it wasn't ashamed of the religion. They shouted and danced under the Spirit that drunk men, like drunk men, and had cloven tongues like fire set upon them, and they'd done signs and wonders, and exploits follow them. That's the kind it was at the beginning. That's the kind it'll be in the middle. That'll be the kind that'll be at the last. You say, my church don't teach that? Well, it wasn't so from the beginning. Just as simple. You say, I'm Methodist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm Baptist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm Lutheran. It wasn't so from the beginning. They were baptized saints of God with the Holy Ghost. That's what the beginning was. Signs and wonders. You say, my church don't believe in it. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church don't believe in seeing visions. It wasn't so from the beginning. From the Messiah, he said, they looked like him. They acted like him. They are his flesh, his blood, his spirit. Amen. That's the way God's church is. His eaglets, his messiahs. They look like him. They act like him. They preach like him. They do the works that he did. The things that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do because I go to my Father. Amen. These signs shall follow my eaglets. Amen. They'll do just as I do. If my spirit's in them, they'll do the works that I do. If they don't do the works that I do, it's because my spirit's not in them. Can I read that again? If they don't do the works that I do, it's because my spirit's not in them. A lot of people are going to come up to the great white throne and say, hey, I thought I had the Holy Ghost because I believed the message of the hour. Depart from me. I never knew you. From be not afraid. And Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, yet if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see, here he was doing the same thing that God did. Now I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church would do the same things he did because the same life is in it. If here stands a peach tree, and I take all the peach life out of it and put apple life in it, what kind of fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well then, if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. And from God's gifts always find their place. He said, now notice, we find that if he identified the works that he did, identified that he was deity, showed that he was, for he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not? Will they dare? Will they dare? If I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. See? As the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator that sends us, does the works of Christ the Creator. See? As the Father sent me, so send I you. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. Now, that's hanging on every one of you this morning. I'm not saying you've got to create. God's the only one who creates anyway. Brother Branham didn't create squirrels. God said, where do you want them? He got to point out where he wanted them. Now, when Brother Branham prayed and God gave the girl eyeballs, you say, see, he didn't believe it. Well, what about Brother Bosworth when he prayed and God gave people eardrums that didn't have eardrums? No different. What's the difference between an eyeball and an eardrum? What's the difference between an eyeball and an eardrum and the heel of somebody's foot that was cut off growing back? Huh? We've seen that in this church. Now come on, brother, sister. If the works aren't there, it doesn't have to be done every Sunday, but if the works aren't there, you don't have to believe me. If the Spirit of Christ is not working in this ministry in a way that's identifiable, I'm just up here blabbering my mouth. Anybody can get up and blabber their mouth. But when you die to yourself, and Christ comes in and He takes over. That He does the works and you're just a vessel that He's using. From Be Certain of God, He said, if I had the Spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And we've perverted it by the works of man, doctrines of man. The Bible said, in the last days, they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. And you say, them's communists. No, them's Christians, so-called. And church members, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, saying, oh, God did that in another age, not this age. The Bible said, from such turn away. We're living in that day. Now listen, we've seen in this church, we have witnesses. I don't remember how many years ago. How many years have you been here now? 15 years ago. We had a summer heat wave, 102 degrees for 6 days in a row. And the forecast was another 6 days of it. And we had people in the church getting sick. Steve had gotten sick on the job. Dwayne had gotten sick on the job. My wife had gotten sick on the job. I don't remember. There's a few others that had gotten sick because they worked in places that were fairly hot. I felt led to pray. I asked the Lord to drop the weather by 30 degrees. After the service, we went out, went to a restaurant. Came out of the restaurant and saw this little floating, little black cloud all by itself. No clouds in the sky, but this little floating black cloud moving across the sky. And I looked up and said, brother, something's about to happen. It reminded me of Elijah looking up in that little cloud going across. And he said, I hear the abundance of rain. And I said, something's about to happen. And we went over from there and we went over to Lowe's just to look around. We were in Lowe's for maybe 10 minutes and the lights all went out. I turned to Michael and said, something's happening outside. We walked out the door and from as far west and to as far east as you could see, there's a huge black cloud is maybe about a mile above the earth, and then it was about at least a half a mile straight up like a cliff, like a bulldozer. Came sweeping through and the weather dropped from 102 to 72 degrees in just a very short period of time. Now God is a very specific God. He said, ask and it shall be given. And I remember one time as a young Christian, I asked Him, I had a cavity inside my tooth. I asked the Lord to take it out, to fix my cavity, take the cavity out. That night I bit into a Dinnymore beef stew. There was a wedge-shaped bone in there. Broke my tooth in half, took the cavity out. So you have to be careful what you ask for. But God, listen, God is very specific. You say, take my. I know another brother. He was a drummer in a band. He'd just become a Christian, and he didn't have the internal fortitude to quit the band. So he asked the Lord to help him, you know, so he wouldn't be in the band anymore. And he went out and went to hop a fence behind a burning, where you burn the trash. And there was a fence there, and he went to hop the fence, and he burnt both his hands. He didn't realize it was hot. He couldn't drum anymore. So, you know, God helped him with it. So, anyway, all I'm saying is that Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. And He's very specific. From the Message Love, Brother Brown said, any spirit, anything, any life will bear record of itself. Now, if that angel of God, whose picture you see here, if that angel of God is the Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. How many knows that? It'll bear the works of Christ. If it don't bear the works of Christ, then it isn't Christ. If it had the spirit of Dillinger, I'd have guns. I'd be a carrier. Whatever spirit you are, that's what bears you record. Or that's what bears your record. From Perseverance, he said, no. She wasn't a hybrid. As a so-called crop of believers is today, what does she do? She admitted He was right. The word in faith always admits the word is right. Amen. If your faith don't punctuate every word of God with an amen, there's something wrong with your experience. The Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't say amen to that, then there's something wrong. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. If it don't say amen to that, then there's something wrong. If you don't punctuate every word of God's promise with an amen, there's something wrong. So when we have a promise from God that says, he that believeth on me, that's anybody, Brother Brown said. We just read the quote. Anyone. Anybody. Anyone who believes on me. Anybody who believes on me. The works that I do, you're going to do also. Why? Because my spirit's in you doing. See, from Christ is a mystery, Brother Brown said. Now notice, and the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends, the Jesus that sends us, goes in. A little while and the world won't see me no more, yet you will see me, for I, personal pronoun, I, the person Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. That's your challenge. From the absolute, Brother Ram said, then, when we know that our actions is exactly with the Word, and we know our teaching is perfect with the Word, adding nothing or taking nothing, just the Word, and we see the same results that others who anchored to the same Word living up in our own life, then your anchor holds. The life of Christ being reproduced in almost an incarnate way through you, as it was in Christ, because it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And you see God in yourself holding that same keel on the Word, just exactly the way Jesus did, and you see his life. The works that I do, you also do. He that believeth, not him that make believeth, he that thinks he believes, but he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Why? He's anchored to the same rock. What was a rock? The Word. Always, you're anchored there. And from the message, love. Any spirit, anything, any life will bear record of itself. Now, if that angel of God whose picture you see here today, if that angel of God is Christ, it'll bear the works of Christ. How many knows that? It'll bear the works of Christ. If it don't bear the works of Christ, then it isn't Christ. If I had the spirit of John Dillinger, I'd have guns, and wherever, whatever spirit you are, that will bear you record. And from God's gifts always find their place. He said, now, notice we find that if you identify the works that he identified that he was deity, showed that he was, for he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not? See, as the Father sent me, so I send you. If you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. Christ is a creator that sends us, does the works of Christ, the creator. Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say, it's not so. So I'm reading quote after quote after quote where Brother Branham is telling you, look, it's got to be there if you've got the life. You see? From Be Certain of God, he says, if I told you that I had the spirit of Al Capone, you'd better call the police and arrest me. I might have guns. If I told you I had the spirit of some famous artist, you'd expect me to paint these hills out here just as natural as they are, because that's what the artist would do if I had his spirit. And if I had the spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of Christ, of the Father, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, and we've perverted it by works of man, doctrines of man. The Bible said, in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce bakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You say, them's communists, no, them's Christians, so-called and church members. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's a prophecy about the end time church. Having a form, but no power. Well, Paul also says there's power of an endless life. He says the power is not just in miracles, but it's in the life. To live the life. But he says, and that's a prophecy, they have a form of godliness. They go to church, they talk the word, and they do these things, but there's no life there. From Mark of the Beast said, when God sends something and you fail to walk in it, then you're out. That's all. You either do or you don't. That's the way it is. All that didn't get into the ark, they drowned. And that was all there was to it. No matter who they was. That's the same thing. All that's not in Christ today will perish without Christ. It's true. So you can't say, well, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, or anything else. You've got to be Christ. Or you've got to be of Christ. And if you're of Christ, you do the works of Christ. That bears record, and that proves that it is. It's just as clear as the scripture. I know how to say it. That's just as plain as a big nose on this face of mine. And in closing, from Have Faith in God, he said, any vine bears fruit through the branch of what it is. If it don't do the same thing that Jesus did, then it's not Jesus. If God told you the spirit of Dillinger was in me, I'd have guns and be dangerous. If God told you the spirit of artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint pictures of the artist. If I say the spirit of Christ is in me, then it produces the works of Christ. He promised it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because we do have this promise from you. And as Brother Branham said, a Christian is Christ-like. Well, that would be doing the things he did, talking the way he did, acting like he did, doing the works that he did. That's Christ-like. It's not just having the same creed or having creeds and dogmas and doctrines and theology. That's not Christ-like. Christ-like means to live like him, to act like him, to do what he would do and to walk as he would walk. That's Christ-like. And so, Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord, to do and say and think and just to be Christ. Help us to die, Father, to self. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That's present tense, continuously. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his faith that he had. Oh God, help us, Lord, that the same Father that sent Jesus lived in him, and the same Jesus Christ that sent us is living in us, going with us. And we have a right, Father, not to believe the testimony of a church or a person who claims to be a Christian when we don't see the life, we don't see the actions, we don't see the works. So help us, Father, to live that life, to consecrate our lives so that you might come in. You might be happy to come in. You might be pleased with our life. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you. There will not be Wednesday.